From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The nation remains riveted this week as a White House-ordered FBI probe of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh commences. The move to do the probe came after Republican Senator Jeff Flake last Friday announced that he would vote to advance Kavanaugh from the Senate Judiciary Committee on the condition that the FBI investigate the claims of sexual assault against Kavanaugh. There are contradicting reports about the scope of the FBI probe after President Trump told reporters on Saturday that the FBI would have free rein to interview whomever they want. New reports cited officials saying the inquiry would be very limited and is being directed by White House counsel Don McGahn and Senate Republicans. But then on Monday morning, the New York Times reported anonymous sources that said backlash against the limits of the probe have resulted in a new White House directive saying that the FBI can interview anyone it wants to, provided the investigation is completed by the end of the week. In the wake of Brett Kavanaugh's testimony on Thursday, several of his inconsistencies and falsehoods have been reported in the news. Among them are the definitions of slang words written in his 1982 calendar, his assertions of the legal drinking age in Maryland, and his connections to Yale University. Given that he made many easily provable false assertions under oath, it's not yet clear if Republicans will give up on his nomination to the Supreme Court despite apparent multiple perjuries, nor is it clear that the FBI will focus on them. My guest is Marjorie Cohen, professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She recently wrote the piece, Aggressive Kavanaugh Portrays Himself as a Victim. She wrote it for Truthout, and she had joined us some weeks ago about the same issue. Welcome back to the program, Marjorie.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
So this particular story this week has now turned, the focus has turned into the FBI probe after last week's dramatic showdown with the Senate Judiciary hearing. As far as you can tell, what is the scope of the FBI hearing? It sounds like we are looking at whether or not the White House and Republicans can use the FBI as a partisan tool or not.
Well, that's an interesting question, Sonali, because the Democrats have been trying to find out what the scope is. They evidently have not received any document detailing the scope, and things have leaked out to the media. The first thing that we heard through the media was that the probe would be limited to interviewing the four people who were at the party where Dr. Ford alleged the sexual assault by Kavanaugh happened. And then there was pushback from the Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee. And so Donald Trump came out and said, oh, we're not micromanaging this probe, and they can talk to whoever they like. And in fact, he said that the FBI could also talk to Julie Swetnick, who is the third accuser to come forward. She has worked for several government agencies, federal agencies, including the Department of Homeland Security, the IRS, the Treasury Department, and she swore out an affidavit saying that Kavanaugh and his friend Mark Judge were present at several parties where they set up gang rapes, and that she also saw Kavanaugh rubbing his body up against women, trying to take their clothes off without their consent. And she was excluded from the original witness list. And then Trump came out, I think it was Monday, and said that she could be spoken to as well. Now, there have been a number of witnesses who are relevant to this probe who have contacted the FBI with no success. One is a Yale classmate of Deborah Ramirez, who is another one of Kavanaugh's accusers, who said that Kavanaugh waved his penis in her face, thrust his penis in her face, and as she was pushing him away, she unconsentingly touched the penis. And so there's a classmate who says that she can corroborate Ramirez's account. She has tried unsuccessfully to get in touch with the FBI. There's another Elizabeth Razor, who's a former girlfriend of Mark Judge. Mark Judge is the only precipient eyewitness to this alleged assault. He was in the room, according to Dr. Ford, when Kavanaugh attempted to rape Ford. And Mark Judge will be interviewed by the FBI, but he has denied that this happened. He's actually denied any memory of it. He hasn't denied it happened. He denies any recollection of it. And his ex-girlfriend wants to come forward and say and contradict Judge. And that's also a very, very important witness. You can't just talk to Judge and then not talk to other people who might have evidence of his lack of credibility.
Right. Yeah. So all of this, the FBI has a week to do this, which is a lot. The other aspect I'm wondering is going back to the original accusation by Christine Blasey Ford of the most serious sounding of the allegations of this attempted rape, as she was during her testimony last week to the Senate Judiciary Committee, attempting to pin down the date of the party where it happened. And if only she knew when Mark Judge worked at a particular supermarket, it would work out. And then when Kavanaugh started to testify, the prosecutor from Arizona, Rachel Mitchell, seemed to start to hone in on a date on his calendar, July 1st, right before the July 4th holiday. And that's when Republicans stopped her and started questioning Kavanaugh themselves. Some news reports have suggested that July 1st might have been the date of that party. There's a lot of stuff in the media that could guide the FBI, at least as starting points, right?
Absolutely. And there have been several people who have given written statements to the Senate Judiciary Committee, and those people also should be talked to by the FBI. But it is interesting that Rachel Mitchell, who was behaving like a prosecutor and trying kind of gently to find inconsistencies in Ford's testimony, then was completely taken off the case when the Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee didn't like the way the questioning was going. And they had originally put her forward to ask the questions and deferred to her for their time because they did not want to seem like they were badgering this woman Dr. Ford, who was alleging a sexual assault. And I think that it backfired. I think she was quite weak. She has since, by the way, come out and said that basically supported Kavanaugh, which...
Right. I noticed that. She basically said that she doesn't see anything to suggest that he would have assaulted Blasey Ford, which is interesting. She is a registered Republican, but said that she was nonpartisan. I wonder if she was facing a lot of pressure after the testimony by Republicans.
I'm sure that she was, and she said she's nonpartisan, and everyone is going to say that, and she wants to appear neutral. But she said a prosecutor would not bring charges based upon these accusations. I don't think that's quite true. An accusation that by a witness like Dr. Ford, who was so credible that most of the Fox News commentators and President Trump all said that she was credible, would be taken seriously, even if it was he said, she said. These kinds of cases are filed all the time, and then it's up to the jury to decide.
Now, what do you make of James Comey inserting himself into this debate? I know that there's a debate around Comey's credibility himself among liberals, but he has firsthand experience with the FBI, obviously, and he has put out an opinion piece saying the FBI can do this despite limitations and partisan attacks. He said in his New York Times op-ed, the Bureau can find out a lot about the Kavanaugh accusations in a week. Part of me was thinking, Comey, you should stay out of this because you're kind of too politicized yourself. What do you think?
Well, Comey, of course, was fired by Trump, and he's not happy about that. And he was highly respected by many people before that. And there was also some criticism of him as well. But it doesn't surprise me that he wanted to assert himself into this debate. And you notice in that op-ed, he didn't really make any credibility determinations, although I'm sure he's got his opinion, but rather said, look, the FBI, as an institution, does this frequently. They can do this in a week. And, of course, if they're not limited, if the White House is not micromanaging them, they can presumably do an effective investigation in a week. Don McGahn, who is very partisan, is the point person for the Kavanaugh nomination and also is working with the Senate Republicans on the Judiciary Committee to formulate the parameters of this FBI investigation. But fortunately, the Democrats, who have grown a spine in the last couple of weeks, in my opinion, are pushing back and even and saying, look, if this investigation is limited or circumscribed, it is not going to be effective. Now, Jeff Flake, who is the senator, a Republican senator who turned the tide on Friday by saying that he would vote to send Kavanaugh's nomination to the full Senate floor, but he would not vote for ultimately to confirm Kavanaugh unless there was an FBI investigation lasting 1 week. And that's because the Democrats continued in their questioning on the Judiciary Committee to talk about this FBI investigation to try to pin down Kavanaugh about whether he would support an FBI investigation. And every time they asked Kavanaugh if he would support an FBI investigation, Kavanaugh gave what we call a non-responsive answer, saying the four people who were at the party or allegedly at the party all denied that it happened. Well, that was misstating evidence. He knew very well, he's a federal appeals court judge, and he knew very well that he was misstating the evidence because the evidence shows that those four people said they had no recollection of the assault, not that they denied that it happened. Mm-hmm. Jeff Flake was pressured. There was that iconic view of him captive in an elevator being challenged by women who had been victims of sexual assault, and he came out looking very pained, and I think he may be running for president as well. He's stepping down from the Senate, but he wants to look fair, and so he said that he would not vote for the Kavanaugh confirmation unless there was this investigation. Now, on Monday, he was interviewed on television, and he said there should not be any limitations on it. It should be an effective investigation. So that says to me that he is supporting the calls for by the Democrats to make sure that this investigation is not short-circuited. It's not just a perfunctory 1 week so that then the Democrats who were on the fence about the confirmation can have political cover saying, oh, the FBI did an investigation. And then there was a piece in The New Yorker that talked about these three witnesses that I mentioned who've been trying to contact the FBI, who have apparently very relevant testimony to give to the FBI, who had been unable to contact the FBI. Hopefully that New Yorker article will open up an avenue for them to actually be interviewed by the FBI.
Marjorie, I want to try to figure out and get your opinion on whether this FBI inquiry is going to, if they have been given free rein, be able to push for showing or proving that Kavanaugh lied during his testimony. So there's the sexual assault allegations, obviously. That's what Flake was asking to be investigated when he made his vote conditional to advance Kavanaugh to the full Senate. But when somebody who is interviewing for a job on the Supreme Court testifies under oath and lies, not once, not twice, but apparently repeatedly, as several detailed investigative news reports have shown, one would imagine that a law enforcement agency at the highest level, such as the FBI, could prove those lies. And one would imagine that that ought to disqualify Kavanaugh. Now, Senator Bernie Sanders wrote a letter to Chuck Grassley asking whether the FBI inquiry was going to address the veracity of Kavanaugh's testimony. And Jeff Flake, in this interview that you alluded to earlier, was asked if it was shown that Kavanaugh was lying during his testimony, just plain old lying about anything, would that disqualify him? And Flake said, I would think so. Should we now be pushing for proving that Kavanaugh lied?
Of course, absolutely. And the FBI is not going to make credibility determinations or conclusions, but they are going to present information. Presumably that information will become public because so many people, millions of people, are focused on this. So we should know what the results of the FBI investigation are. And even if the FBI doesn't connect the dots and say he's lying, we can come to that conclusion, and so can the members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. But you're right, Sonali, there were several instances where Kavanaugh lied, not only on Thursday in his testimony after Dr. Ford testified, but also at his 2006 Court of Appeals confirmation testimony, where he said he was not involved during his time in the Bush administration with rules on detention of combatants. And in fact, he told Dick Durbin in Durbin's office that he was involved in that. And he admitted that he may have been involved in preparing the signing statement that Bush signed, saying, I'm not necessarily going to follow the part of the Detainee Treatment Act that says that we can't use cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment, the so-called McCain Amendment. Now, during the Thursday hearing, after Dr. Ford testified, in addition to saying, to misstating the testimony, or the evidence, I should say, that these four witnesses at the party, or people at the party, denied that in fact the assault happened, when in fact they didn't deny it, they said they had no recollection. He lied about the drinking age. He said in Maryland it was 18. In fact, the summer of 1982, when this incident that Dr. Ford testified to occurred, the drinking age was raised to 21. When he was asked about his yearbook entry about Renata alumnus, which many people have said refers to boasting about having sex with her, he said, "Oh, that was just a friendly. We liked her," which doesn't pass the straight face test. When he was asked what boofing is, which is something else that he referred to, he said, "Oh, it's flatulence." And in fact, several people have said it refers to anal sex. When he was asked about the Devil's Triangle, another thing that he made reference to, he said, "Oh, that was just a drinking game." And in fact, other people said it was a menage a trois. He says he never blacked out, and that becomes really important, that he drank so much that he blacked out, and that he might have assaulted Dr. Ford and not recall. And several people have come forward and said, oh, he was a sloppy drunk, he got aggressive, he got very belligerent, and in fact he did black out. And there was an allusion to this in Mark Judge's book about Bart O'Kavanaugh blacking out. And then he said, when he was asked whether he took a polygraph, a lie detector test, which Dr. Ford had taken and passed, another non-responsive answer Kavanaugh gave. He said, oh, they're not admissible in federal court. Well, we're not in federal court. We're in a hearing, a confirmation hearing. And in fact, he wrote an opinion. Kavanaugh wrote an opinion as a Court of Appeals justice, affirming that polygraphs are very useful for background checks and FBI investigations. So there are several places where he has lied, and if anything is to be done about it, he could actually be charged with a crime for lying to a Senate committee under oath.
You know, in any other time, we would have backed off from a candidate like this. The candidate himself would have withdrawn, the president would have withdrawn the nomination. But the Republicans just seem to have changed the rules of the game so much that they seem to be absolutely determined to keep Kavanaugh at all costs, because they know that if they don't push him through now, they could very easily not have the votes after the midterm elections, etc. And so it seems like we have just dropped all pretense, dropped all propriety norms, basic ethical standards. And I want to touch on the piece that you wrote on Truthdig about Kavanaugh's performance, if you will, on Thursday last week, where, you know, first we heard from this woman who was clearly victimized. Nobody even disputes that. And then when it came time for Kavanaugh to testify, he acted angry and belligerent. He acted like the victim. What do you think he was doing there?
What I think, personally, you saw the week before, you saw him on Fox News, very, very quiet, dignified, the same as his testimony during the first round in the Senate Judiciary Committee. It was a different Kavanaugh who came out with guns blazing on Thursday, aggressive, belligerent, nasty, yelling at senators, insulting senators, blaming a left-wing conspiracy with the Clintons for what's happening, whereas, of course, Blasey Ford, everybody agrees that she's very credible and had made these accusations in private long before he was even nominated. I think, and this is my opinion, but I think that Donald Trump told Kavanaugh, look, I'm not going to pull your nomination, but you've got to fight back. You've got to really come on aggressive. And, you know, Kavanaugh looked a lot like Donald Trump, if you look at it. Although Donald Trump is not a drinker, he's a teetotaler, but Kavanaugh looked like a drunk. If you looked at him, he was belligerent, he was red in the face, and he was aggressive, and he was mean. And then afterwards, Trump said, look, that's why I nominated him, what a great guy. And many of the Republicans were saying, what a great guy. They want to ram this nomination through. They can taste success. They can taste victory. This is a strategy that has gone on for a long time to try to get a majority on the Supreme Court that will overturn, not just overturn Roe v. Wade, but overturn every single protection or right that we hold dear that protects people and not corporations, and you know, including gay rights, environmental rights, workers' rights, immigrants' rights, you name it. And they can just taste it that he would be on the court for decades and would move it clearly and definitively to the right, because Justice Kennedy was a swing vote. He often swung to the right, but he also swung to the left on a number of issues, on gay rights, on immigration, on many other issues, the death penalty, for example. And they can really taste victory, and they want to ram him through, as you said, before the midterm elections. And they say, well, the court should not be shorthanded. Of course, the court was shorthanded for a year with eight justices, a short one justice, when the Republicans basically stole Obama's nominee, Merrick Garland, nomination, Merrick Garland, from the Supreme Court. So it's a real double standard, but it's not over till it's over. And boy, you never know what's going to happen next. I thought he was a shoo-in. I thought it was a slam dunk. Of course, who could have predicted that Dr. Ford would come forward, and then Ramirez, and then Swetnick, and, you know, there are apparently allegations out there as well.
Right, and then Flake coming and asking for the FBI probe, etc. And so some have pointed out that one of the cases that the Supreme Court, the 8-member court now, is taking up in the next few weeks is this question of what's called double jeopardy, which may have implications for some of the crimes that Donald Trump's former colleagues and current colleagues might be getting prosecuted for or charged with, because the court could narrow the definition of double jeopardy, which means that it might limit state prosecutors from pursuing parallel charges. And so people, there's speculation that that's part of the reason why they're so desperate to get, or Trump is so desperate to get Kavanaugh on the court. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, in fact, I'm writing a piece for Truth Out about that very subject. It'll be out on Thursday. Double jeopardy is in the Constitution in the Fifth Amendment that basically says you can't be tried twice for the same crime. And so if Trump were to pardon any of his associates, and he can only pardon them and relieve them of federal prosecution. He cannot relieve them of state prosecution. And the Supreme Court has said, like the Rodney King case was a perfect example, where there was an acquittal of the officers who beat Rodney King in the state proceeding, and then prosecutors went into a federal proceeding and got a conviction. And so that's the way it's happened, because they're separate sovereigns. The state and the federal courts are separate sovereigns. So the issue of whether or not that would no longer be the case, and if there was a federal prosecution, then it would prevent, double jeopardy would prevent a state prosecution, is important, because if Trump were to pardon his associates or himself, he's talked about pardoning himself from a federal prosecution, then state prosecutors, such as in New York, have said that they would or very well might go forward with prosecution. So I think that the choice of Kavanaugh in the first place, he wasn't on the first two lists from the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation. But I think that when Trump saw Kavanaugh's record on deferring to the executive, he thought, and there is a lot of evidence of that, he thought, Trump, of course, always thinks of himself first, that Kavanaugh would protect him if he ever came under fire legally. And so that's, yes, that I think that's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons that they want Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court as soon as possible. And Trump, of course, is putting tremendous pressure on the Republican leadership to get him through.
Well, Marjorie, we shall see how this all plays out. It's just quite stunning and, feels like the nation is reeling from it all. I want to thank you so much for spending this time with us and sharing your expertise.
My pleasure, Sonali. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Marjorie Cohn is a professor emerita at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law. She writes on Truth Out. Her most recent piece is called Aggressive Kavanaugh Portrays Himself as a Victim. And you can look out for her new piece coming out later this week. We've been discussing the latest news on the FBI probe of Brett Kavanaugh. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes and our video channel on Vimeo.